Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And it is a beautiful morning, isn't it? We've had some rainy days. Quite a bit of rain has come down the last few days, and it's good to see that sunshine out there. Let's enjoy this Sabbath day. This is just a blessing, a gift from Almighty God. After 6 days of work, He gives us this day of rest. And so let's enjoy it. And what a wonderful opportunity also to be able to just come together and fellowship with each other and to worship. Most of all, to worship our great God who gives us everything. I'd like to begin the sermon this morning by a quote from the Home Office Weekly Update. Are you receiving your copy of that? Mr. Mez is forwarding that to you. And just the day before yesterday, this one came out. This is a quote from the most recent Home Office Weekly Update. And it's by Steve Myers, new manager, for Ministerial Member Services at the Home Office. That's about the Passover. He says, "We are all in a most important time of preparation as we approach the Passover and recommit and recount the fact that indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." 1 Corinthians 5:7. This simple statement is full of profound meaning. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were to choose and then sacrifice the finest, strongest, very best Passover lamb that was without blemish or defect. God told them to take the best and kill it. When Christ was put to death for our sin, the Father God was offering His very best. Jesus was in the prime of His life, sinless, flawless, perfect. The Father gave His most excellent and only Son to die the death each one of us deserves so that we could have forgiveness and be brought back into a right relationship with Him. What a marvelous plan. So as we plan for this coming Passover, we contemplate, reflect, and repledge our loyalty to our Father and Savior and have our faith strengthened by the love, sacrifice, and profound gift of God. That from Mr. Steve Myers at the Home Office. Well, this sermon today is to help us prepare for the Passover. Just over 3 weeks away, Tuesday night, April the 4th. I'd like for us, we know that we are to examine ourselves. I'd like to add something, a little different perspective on that. Let's begin by reading in Psalm 139 and verse 23. Psalm 139 and verse 23. And this will give us also the title of the sermon this morning as well. Psalm 139 and verse 23. Search me, O God. You know, many times at this time of the year, we emphasize examining ourselves, but what about adding to that this perspective, asking God to search us and examine us and see how we are doing from His vantage point. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. I think the King James translation has thoughts. The New International Version has anxious thoughts. And it goes on to say in verse 24, see if there is any wicked way in me. You know, I think I know for you, I know for myself, I don't want there to be a wicked way in me. I don't think you do either. So we ask God to examine us and to search us and to see if there's anything there, any wicked way that is not quite right. And lead me, it goes on to say, in the way everlasting. The way that leads to everlasting life, that's the way of righteousness, the holy righteous character and nature of Almighty God. We are admonished, yes, to examine ourselves, but we need God's help, and these verses bring it out. The Expositor's Bible Commentary says, the psalmist desires God's will. He prays for God's examination of his spiritual condition. You know, God is the perfect teacher. Any good teacher knows a lot about his students. He knows if his students are in class every day. He knows if his students are doing their homework. He knows if they're paying attention closely in class. He knows a lot about his students. Don't you think God, the master teacher, knows a lot about us? And he's going to be able to help us as we examine ourselves. Help us, he will search and try us and help us to know our heart and to see if there may be something wicked in us, maybe some attitude. It might even be something we've not seen before in ourselves. So the title of this message this morning is Search Me, O God. Search me, O God. Brethren, why do we need God's help then in examining ourselves? Why do we need him to search us? You know that we have something that is called human nature. And this nature is contrary to God's will. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It is very deceitful. It is so deceitful that we could pull the wool right over our eyes. We could be doing things or have an attitude and not even realize that this is a very wrong attitude to have. Your human nature is such that we could deceive ourselves. Let's turn to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. This is a verse we have turned to often. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. You maybe don't need to turn there, but I'm turning there myself. Chapter 17 and verse 9. And here we read that the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Goes on to say that God can test and find out and know it. But the human heart is deceitful, most deceitful. The Hebrew word means it's crooked, deceitful, torturous. And desperately wicked means sick, incurably corrupt. So our human nature could throw us a curve. We could think we're doing okay, and we really aren't, because we don't see ourselves as we really are. A good example, a couple of good examples of that, let's turn to Luke chapter 18. That's a good example of someone that did not really see himself. He examined himself and thought he was doing okay, and he really wasn't, not in God's sight, not at all. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, Luke 18 and verse 9, we're very familiar with this parable. Jesus spoke this parable, it says, to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. You know, we can't trust in ourselves that we are righteous. We're not. Not only if God is working in us and what he is doing, we can't trust in ourselves that there's something deep inside that is righteous about us just inherently. So he spoke to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And this parable goes on to say, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God. He looked at himself and here's what he saw. When he examined himself, here's what he found. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. You know, the truth is we're all alike. We all have human nature, a nature that is contrary to doing the will of God. And we need to fight it every moment of every day. This Pharisee didn't see that. I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. So he looked at himself as being much better than this tax collector. In verse 12, he went on to say, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he felt good about himself. He examined himself and he felt good at what he found. He saw no room for improvement. There's nothing here where he was falling short. And yet he was falling short, you know, in many, many different ways in God's sight. The tax collector goes on to say, did actually see himself, and he had a repentant frame of mind and had the true examination of himself. Another good example of these are Christians who did not really come up with the right answer when they examined themselves. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. The Laodicean church, we're very familiar with this, but we'll read it once again in this context, that these Christians here, members of the church of God in Laodicea, and we have felt that there's an application for our time today, that at the end of this age, historically, these seven church eras seem to have a certain historical flow as well. And that this would apply especially to the age that we're living in today. Could even maybe some of us have some of this Laodicean attitude? These people examined themselves and they came up with the wrong answer. They didn't see themselves the way they really were. Let's read that in verse 14, Revelation 3 and verse 14. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, faithful and true witness." Verse 15, "I know your works." And there's nothing good that is said about these Christians at Laodicea. "I know your works, that you're neither hot or cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say," here's how they examined themselves. They looked at themselves and they said, "I am rich. I have become wealthy." And apply this spiritually, it would mean that they are satisfied with their spiritual condition. "I am rich. I've become wealthy and have need of nothing." You know, the truth is we need everything. Everything that God can provide through his Spirit. We can do nothing of ourselves. Even Jesus in his human form said, "I can do nothing of myself." It's the Father. And it's the same for us. But these Christians felt, "I have need of nothing." And the true examination God then gives, "And do not know that you're actually wretched, miserable, poor, and naked. I counsel to buy gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich." So, you know, the reason we need God, "Search me, O God," the reason we need that is because we can pull the wool over our own eyes and not really see ourselves the way we are. We can think we're on the right track and maybe be coming up short. So we're going to direct the sermon in that direction, and that is that we need God to help us in our examination this time of the year. Well, and we should be examining ourselves all during the year. So we need to ask God to help us as we examine ourselves and get the true perspective. He's the master teacher. And I'm going to say, and maybe repeat a few times, that God actually knows us better than we know ourselves, because he is searching. He is looking at us. He's a master teacher that knows us, his students. We're his students. And our master teacher knows us very well. And if he doesn't know us in some area, he has a way of finding out. Just like a teacher can throw a test and find out how his students are doing. Let's go back to Psalm 26 and read the first three verses. We're going to encourage ourselves then to ask God to search me, O God, as we approach the Passover this year. Psalm 26 and verse 1. Psalm 26 and verse 1. Well, I got the wrong chapter here. I'll be there in just a moment. Psalm 26 and verse 1. "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity." So this is a Psalm of David. You'll notice the small print At the very beginning of this chapter, it's the Psalm of David, then the man after God's own heart. Say, David was very human. He made many mistakes. And yet, you read the Psalms and you see a heart. You see an attitude that we want to have. I don't know that I can say I don't measure up to where David was. What a tremendous heart he had. The man after God's own heart. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. He was doing the best he could possibly do. I have trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, he says, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your righteousness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. So David was really trying hard. You know, I trust that's true for all of us here. We're trying hard. Our intent, we know we fall far short, but our intent is that we would like to do it right. We'd like to be pleasing in God's sight. We'd like to walk with him. We know that we don't measure up to where we'd like to be. I think it's much safer to feel that way, though, than to say, well, I'm measuring up to where I'm supposed to be. You don't want to ever get to thinking that you're just doing it so well that there's no way that you can do it better. But David here is saying to God to examine him, to prove him, to try his mind and his heart. Let's go back a few psalms to Psalm 19. And read verses 12 to 14. Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Well, we all do have errors. We all do fall short. Sometimes we get into a wrong attitude or spirit. Who can understand that? Really takes God's spirit to see it fully. And he goes on to say, cleanse me from secret faults. Hidden sins, then. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. So, you know, might we have a secret fault? Might there be something that we don't see? The master teacher can help us to see that if we do. If we have any sins that we don't see, we need God's help. Because I tell you, he is searching each of his children. He knows where each one is. We have thousands and thousands, we believe, of converted Christians around the world. God knows where each one is, and he knows how each one is doing, and he knows how to help each one to grow. And if there are secret sins, to reveal those secret sins, because he is searching our hearts and minds. Let's go to read some verses about that. God is searching. And when we say, search me, O God, we can be sure that he is going to answer that prayer right in line with what he is doing anyway. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And this is King David, shortly before his death. Solomon was now taking over the throne, David's son Solomon. David is instructing Solomon concerning the building of the temple and also worshiping and serving the true God. So let's begin in verse 8. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord and the hearing of our God, David is telling Solomon, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this great land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, here's some personal admonition to his son Solomon, know the God of your father. Get to know the true God and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So he is admonishing his son Solomon to serve God with a faithful and willing mind and heart, because God is searching all hearts, it says, and understands all the intent of the thoughts. You know, it's encouraging to me, isn't it, to you, to know that God looks at our intent. You know, they say that that hot place is paved with good intentions. But, you know, there are intentions that God honors. When we are doing the best we can and we still fall short, like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. The Apostle Paul said that what he wanted to do, he didn't do. What he did not want to do, he did many times, because he had this law of sin that was in his nature. Who would deliver him from this body of sin? Paul's intentions were good in Romans 7, but he was still falling short. So if our intentions are good, then God honors that. If we're doing the best we can and we still fall short, we still have some thoughts, we still have some attitudes, things that are not right yet, that character of God is not yet perfected in us, God does honor our intention that we would like to be perfect. We just still fall short. We're just children still growing up. And that's what David brings out here to his son Solomon, that God searches and notice in the middle of verse 9 that he searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. God understands all the intent. If your intent is right, just like a student, a teacher honors someone that is trying hard, pays attention, takes notes, does his homework, maybe still comes up short on the test. The teacher does honor the intent of the student. So God is searching our hearts, searching right down to the intent of our hearts. Let's read a few verses back in Jeremiah again. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Let's go there. We did not read verse 10, but I think it'd be good if we did. Jeremiah chapter 17 once again. And we read verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We read that. And who can know the heart then? I tell you what, God is going to know our hearts before we can be a son of God and be in his kingdom. He's got to know our hearts. He's got to know that we're 100%, not 99.9, 100% right with him in our heart. He's got to know that. Who can know it? Verse 10 goes on to say, I, the Lord, search the heart. God's searching. So when we pray, search me, O God, we can be sure he's already doing it. We just ask him to continue searching, see if there's anything that's not right that's there, anything that needs correcting. Goes on to say, then I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. The margin indicates the most inward parts. God will test the most inward part of us, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So God is searching and searching. He's testing us. Jeremiah 20 and verse 12. It's good for us to know this. Jeremiah here, 20 and verse 12. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind, margin says, most inward parts again, and heart. So God is searching us. He's finding out what is in our hearts and minds. He's testing us even to find out. Let's go back to Psalm 7 and verse 9. If a teacher wants to know how a student is doing, he'll throw a test. You'll see if the student has been paying attention in class. He'll see if the student has been doing his homework. A teacher knows how to find out how well his students are doing. God is the master teacher. He'll throw a test and see how we're doing. Do we get into a wrong frame of mind when God throws a test our way? Well, you know, that's something that needs to be worked on. When a test comes, we need to be able to pass it. In Psalm 7 and verse 9, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds." Again, minds is the most inward part, or the most secret part of man, it says. So God will test the most secret part. He can find out what's there at the deepest level. Let's read also Psalm 17, verse 3. Psalm 17, verse 3. "You," again a psalm of David, "you have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing." You know, that's nice when you can feel that you're so right in your heart. David felt he was so right in his heart with God that God did not find anything of major concern. "I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." So the man after God's own heart sets a good example that way. God is testing our minds and our hearts. A good example of that is Abraham. You know, God knew where Abraham was, but he still threw that big test. And he said, "Go sacrifice your son Isaac." Abraham went to do it without question. And we know that he had the son right up ready to slay him. He had the knife up in the air. You know, think about that. I have two sons, two daughters and two sons. And if God asked me to go do that, it would be awfully hard. What about you? I'd rather I be the one that would be slain instead of my son. So that was a hard test. Abraham, though, obeyed. And then it says in Genesis 22, verse 12, God told Abraham, "Now I know that you fear God." I know, because you've not held back your own son. So God really knew Abraham through and through. There was no question. And there was never another test at Abraham. That was his final exam in a way. He never had to do another test like that. So God, as we examine ourselves this Passover season, and by the way, the Passover examination should be most of all, we do look and see what kind of sins there might be yet remaining or things that we can do much better than we are. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the examination there especially pertains to, do we discern the body and the blood of the sacrifice of God, of Christ? Do examine yourselves to see if you really discern that you're commemorating the body and the blood of Christ as the Lamb of God. And Steve Myers brings that out very well. If you're doing the six steps to Passover, anybody watching those? My wife and I saw number three last night. We have three more weeks before Passover, so we'll have the final three. Next week will be the bread and wine. And I believe that may be Steve Myers again. But in the first one, Jesus, our Passover, Mr. Myers brings out very nicely there that the examination in 1 Corinthians 11, which Paul said, "Examine yourselves," was especially to see if we're keeping the Passover, knowing what it represents. So this year, as we keep the Passover, we need to really ask ourselves, do we discern what we're doing? This is the body and the blood of the one who created all things, who had become human. And then he gave his life. I'm trying to let that register upon my mind more deeply as well. And that's one reason God has us to observe the Passover year by year, because he wants us to comprehend deeply the sacrifice that has been made. And why? So that, well, we have lost contact with God. We've been cut off by our sins. And it's through the sacrifice of Christ that we are reconciled. Last night, Darris McNeely, we watched Reconciliation, Jesus and Reconciliation. And it's through the blood of Christ that we are reconciled. So when we come to the Passover service just over 3 weeks away, we need to discern what we're doing. That's what 1 Corinthians 11 is all about. Discern the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the occasion is for, to commemorate that sacrifice of that strange man who walked on the earth almost, well, 2,000 years ago. He was on the earth. Wasn't quite the time for his sacrifice yet, though. So we need to ask God to help us to examine ourselves here before the Passover. He will help us. And he will help us all through the year as we examine ourselves too. Because he knows a lot about us. He knows more than we know about ourselves. Let's go to Psalm 139 now. So God knows a lot about us, and he can help us in our examination to see if there are things that we need to work on. Things we need to grow in. In Psalm 139 in verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Again, this says a psalm of David. You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. Brother, God is reading our minds. He knows what we're thinking. Think about that. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. And God knows everything about us. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Not a word we speak that God is not aware of and understands. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain it. But yeah, God's reading our minds. He knows what we're thinking. How can he do that? He can. There are thousands and thousands of members of the Church of God around the world, and he's reading the thoughts and the minds of each and every one. He does it through his Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans chapter 8. Through his Spirit, God is able to keep up with the progress of each of his children. He knows where each and every one is. He knows their thoughts. He knows their deepest desire and intent even. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, and it should be the New King James here has himself, it should be itself. Does the regular King James have itself there? King James Version sometimes gets it correct. The New King James tries to make the Holy Spirit a person, which it is not. The Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So God's Spirit is searching the hearts, and God picks up if there's something wrong. We get into a wrong attitude. You think, does God know? Yes. If we have a wrong desire or intent, does he know? Yes. Is there something, a secret fault that we don't know, but he sees it? Does he know? Yes. He's going to help us eventually to face that fault and overcome it. We're in the process of perfection. And we're not there yet, but hopefully we're on the way. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. So God's Spirit, through his Spirit, he's able to know our thoughts, our desires, our intent at the deepest level. Hebrews chapter 4 points it out very well. And verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God discerns our thoughts at the deepest level and intents. And there's no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God knows a lot about us. Let's keep that in mind. There's some wrong attitude, some wrong spirit in us. He knows. He knows. So we keep praying. Keep praying. Search me, O Lord. If there's any wicked way in me, then if I have some wrong attitude or spirit about me, some wrong intent even, help me. Before Passover, more than ever, we should be asking God to search us. And God will help us. He'll help us to see if our spiritual trajectory is right on the money. You know, every rifleman knows that if you want to hit your target, you got to aim toward it 100%. And if your trajectory is off maybe just a little bit, then you're not going to hit the target. You may come close, but you're not going to hit the target unless you have it aimed 100%. You know, we've got to be aimed 100% toward the kingdom of God. 100%. If we're off one little bit, then we're going to miss the mark. You know, spacecraft also sent out to space, maybe to go to the moon, go to Mars, go beyond. There is a trajectory. And, you know, that trajectory has to be right. It's not going to end up going to Mars if it's off, maybe 1% or a degree. It's got to be right on the money to arrive at the destination. We've got to be right on the money also. And we should ask God to help us, help our trajectory to be 100% right. If it's only 99% or 99.9%, we'll still miss the mark. We should ask God to help us. And correct us if we're off. I believe that just like a spacecraft, any spacecraft going to Mars, there are little corrections along the way. It's not quite right on target. Little corrections that are made to keep the spacecraft going toward its destination. And so also for us, I believe there are little corrections that need to be made along the way so that we stay right on target toward God's kingdom. Let's go back to another verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. We should ask God, God, I want my trajectory, my spiritual trajectory to be 100%. So if we're off even a little bit, correct me, O Lord. That's what Jeremiah was praying for here. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. You know, that's something we must know as well. The way of man is not in himself. We need to know that. We don't know the right way. We have to have God show it to us. Have God to correct any things that are wrong in what we know or believe. I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Verse 24, O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. So Jeremiah asked for correction. He did not want his trajectory to be wrong. So correction helps keep our spiritual trajectory on track so that we're on target for the kingdom of God. You know, as we examine ourselves, something I'd like to, just a little side point, as we examine ourselves and our intent and our heart is right, if we're like King David, we strive to be like King David, the man after God's own heart, then God is pleased. Just like any teacher, a teacher is pleased when he sees his student coming to class every day, taking notes, paying attention, participating in the class, making good scores on the test. So a teacher delights in that, and will praise the student, keep up the good work. And so God is that way also. We don't want to be harder on ourselves than we should if our heart and mind is in the right place. And God honors if our intent is right and we're striving to the best of our ability. Let's go back to a verse in the Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 17, verses 1 to 5. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer that is not from deceitful lips. You know, our prayers also come from sincere lips, not deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. Look on the things that I have tried to do to the best of my ability. Verse 3, you have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of their lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. So David, in a way, was reminding God, I'm doing the very best I can do. I'm trying to serve you with all of my heart and mind. I'm trying to do it with sincere lips. You know, just the when King Hezekiah was told by Isaiah that he was to get his house in order, Hezekiah also looked back and said, well, God, I've tried to do your will. I've tried to do it right. Let's read that in Isaiah, and that's chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38 and verses 1 to 5. Isaiah reminded God that he had tried to do it right. We can do the same thing as we come before God. We don't have to be harder on ourselves than we should be as we examine ourselves if we are trying to do what is pleasing to God. Isaiah 38 and verse 1. Well, let's see. I got the wrong chapter again. Isaiah 38 and verse 1. Here we are. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. So he was on his deathbed. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. God's prophet, to get your house in order. Hezekiah, you know what Hezekiah did? He did not take it just sitting down. He stood up. He turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. And he said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth. I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. Very brief prayer. And he wept bitterly. And I tell you, God heard. The word of God came to Isaiah. In verse 5, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I'll add to your days 15 years. So, you know, Hezekiah, in a way, reminded God, I've attended class, I've worked hard, I've made good on all the test scores. And God heard him. You know, one scripture in Hebrews chapter 6 says that God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. Many of us have labored through the years. We've labored through the years and through the decades. And God is not unfaithful to forget all that you have done all those many years. In truth and with a loyal heart to the very best of your ability. In other words, you've been a good student that God is pleased with. But even so, we don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much and not think that we've done it all right. I know that looking back in my life, many, many things I have done wrong. And many, many things I should have done better. So we don't want to ever feel too good about ourselves in the past. And yet in our hearts and minds, the intent and desire has been to do what is pleasing to God. So don't be too hard, but remember the parable of the unprofitable servant in Luke 17, that after we have done all that is commanded of us, we are to feel that we are unprofitable servants. We're to feel that we still come up short. We could have done it better. Okay, I got a few thoughts here at the end of the sermon. Questions we can ask ourselves as we search and ask God to help us to search and examine ourselves. You know, we really can, at the Passover time of the year, examine ourselves and how we're doing. How am I doing spiritually? I feel like I need a lot more zeal, a lot more in my life. I need to step on it. Am I growing and overcoming? Am I making some progress? Like Noah, am I walking with God? In evil times, Noah walked with God. Like Abraham, am I obedient? Like Abraham. Like David, am I a man after God's own heart? Is there any wicked way or attitude in me? Any secret hidden sin? If so, we pray like David did in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, if there's any secret hidden fault or sin. Am I seeking God's kingdom first? Is my spiritual trajectory right on the money? God's kingdom. And as we come to the Passover, we can especially ask if we're comprehending more deeply the body and the blood of Christ. You know, why does God have us to observe the Passover? Every year, we are to grow deeper in the comprehension of that sacrifice. That's why we are to keep the Passover again this year, and then next year, and right on. Do we comprehend the body and the blood of Christ? Am I ready to wash feet with humility and service? Am I ready to take the Passover bread and wine? Again, six steps to the Passover, the number four Bible study. Each of those Bible studies is 1 hour long. It's a good lengthy Bible study. It'd be well worth catching up. This week was number three. Number four will be the next week on the bread and the wine. Am I ready to take that bread and that wine? That bread is the body of Christ. He said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. And then drink of the cup. It's my blood that is spilled for many. Are we ready for that and what it really means? You know, it's a good thing that we search ourselves. Don't you think God is pleased if we pray like David, search me, O God? I think he is. He's pleased with that. Like a student coming up in class and saying, you know, I really want to do well. I want to make good grades. How can I improve? How can I do better? Or any parent that has a child that comes and says, how can I do better than I am? So here before the Passover, let's be sure to ask God to help us as we examine ourselves and our hearts and our minds. And be sure to ask God to search and correct us and keep us on course. I'd like to end the sermon by reading from one of our songs in our hymnal. And it's page 118. I'll just read the first verse and a little bit of the last verse. Search me, O God. That's the name of it, the title of this sermon. Search me, O God. And here's how the first verse goes. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. And the last verse says, Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. Lead me, O Lord, I pray, in me abide. Thank you.